All right, let's get him on here, the host of the NFL Matchup Show and, of course, the author of Philly Special, How the Philadelphia Eagles Won Their Super Bowl Championship, Sal Palantonio. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
All right. Merry Christmas to you, Sal. And here we go. Where did, and this is your opinion, I'm just a brief look at last week, where did the 2017 Eagles come from?
What happened last week?
Yep.
Why did they play so well last week?
Yes.
Well, you know, I actually, you know, looked it up and went through a couple of different betting lines and some cheat sheets out there. And according to Westgate out in Las Vegas, that was the largest road win by a defending Super Bowl champ as a double-digit dog ever. How about that?
Yep.
And, to overcome such an incredible point spread on the road by defending Super Bowl champ never happened before. And it was truly a remarkable turnaround. And I think three things, Pat, contributed to it significantly. One, Todd Gurley's absence changed the complexion of the Rams offense. Everything that Jared Goff does is play action.
Right.
And Jared Goff is either a weapon or a decoy. And that was a major, major factor in the game.
Right.
Number two, he doesn't move outside the pocket. If you look at the Eagles this year, they have had problems with mobile quarterbacks. Four of their seven losses have come to mobile quarterbacks, two by Dak Prescott, Mariota, and Cam. Teams that have quarterbacks that can extend the play have been a problem for the Eagles. Fast forward to tomorrow. Fast forward to tomorrow.
Right.
Deshaun Watson is going to give the Eagles fits in this game. This is a really dangerous spot for the Eagles. Really dangerous. And if Doug Peterson is not paying attention in the first half, in other words, he just decides they're going to throw the ball all over the place, they're going to lose the game.
Now, Sal, the other parallel that I kind of draw, and I know that Lamar Miller's not Todd Gurley, but there are questions about whether Miller is going to be available or not. And I know that you talked to Bill O'Brien about this during the Sal Pal Football Hour on Tuesday. But the reports are that he could be willing to give it a go, or he might be able to give it a go. What's your sense that he's going to be able to, one, be effective? And if he's not, how much does that change what Houston does?
Huge, because they really missed him against the Jets last week. So Miller is an important part of what they do. And, you know, if Miller can't run the ball, then they have to go to their two backup running backs who are okay, nothing great. But then Deshaun Watson's going to get on his high horse, and you watch. You know, Watson's their third leading rusher. He can, I mean, of all the running quarterbacks that the Eagles have faced this year, Watson's definitely the best one. 78 carries, 436. He is the leading rusher from yards per carry standpoint for the football team, almost 6 yards a carry with two rushing touchdowns. So they've had problems primarily against running quarterbacks because they only rush four. And, you know, they don't have a great secondary in terms of coverage. And once a quarterback gets loose, then that loosens things up in coverage and guys get free. And it's a big issue for this team defensively. Very, very big issue.
And, you know, Sal, you look at Watson's passing statistics, you know, he doesn't get a lot of credit for it. 68% completion percentage, 8.35 yards per attempt. That's only one-tenth of a yard less than Goff. He's got 24 TDs, 9 picks, 103 quarterback rating. It's not a cinch, you know, that this guy is he's only dangerous when he's outside the pocket.
You know, but he's, and those numbers are skewed because he started 0-3 and very poorly. It's pretty interesting, too. There's another interesting film study and results point to make about Watson and DeAndre Hopkins in particular. When he is under pressure, Watson, and he moves out of side the pocket, he targets DeAndre Hopkins 27% of the time, which is the highest percentage of any quarterback to any receiver when that quarterback is under pressure. So he looks to Hopkins. Now, I know the Eagles are smart. Schwartz is one of the smartest defensive coordinators in the league. He knows this. And that's the most important thing. We have a great piece in the NFL matchup show done by Greg Cosell. It's running this weekend. People can see it tomorrow morning, DVR, look at it. It's right in the beginning of the show where Greg explains just how lethal Hopkins is in their very simplified passing game because of his size, his speed, his catch ratio. I think it's Julio Jones, Hopkins number two, and you can make an argument that Hopkins is the best receiver in the NFL.
Sal, one of the other matchups that I've been looking at is that Houston's got a pretty ferocious pass rush from multiple different places and multiple depths when you consider J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Whitney Mercilus, against offensive tackles for the Eagles that have been struggling this season, and Jason Peters and Lane Johnson. Is that a matchup that you have circled and think it's going to be key in terms of the outcome?
Joe, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. Studying Lane Johnson, I think he's been pretty consistently good, sometimes great.
Okay.
So I think that the Eagles on the right side of their offensive line has been, you know, solid as a rock. So I'm not really concerned about the right side. I'm somewhat concerned about the left. But, you know, they're coming off a game where their quarterback was not sacked against a Rams pass rush that's, you know, we're talking about Aaron Donald as being the defensive player of the year. And the simple reason is this. Nick Foles got rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds on average, snap to release, last week in Los Angeles on Sunday Night Football. That was the second fastest of any quarterback in Week 15. So, you know, to me, You gotta give Nick Foles a lot of credit. He understood. Imagine this. He's on the couch for 12 weeks, basically, right? He's on the shelf for 12 weeks.
Right.
And he comes out firing, getting the ball out of his hands. The Eagles have had no sacks in only two games. One was when Carson evacuated the pocket terrific fashion against the Redskins, 6-for-7 outside the pocket for 100 yards. His best performance outside the pocket. Redskins didn't sack him at all. When teams kept Carson in the pocket and Carson held the ball, that was a problem. Foles got rid of the ball so quickly. And that's been the secret for Tom Brady all these years. It hasn't been that their offensive line has been so great. How many offensive linemen from the Patriots have gone to the Pro Bowl? I can't really name that many.
Not too many is right.
But he gets rid of the ball so quickly, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And Foles gets rid of the ball quickly. I'm frankly not that concerned about the Houston pass rush at all because their secondary is not that good. I think the Eagles will do fine offensively. I'm worried about them defensively in this game.
All right, Sal, I want to segue just here just a little bit to a fascinating statement that Coach Peterson made during the week talking to reporters. And there was just a number of things in here that I think are alarming. I don't want to say alarming, it was an odd statement that he made. I'm going to start with this. He says, quote, "I can stand here and say that Carson is our quarterback," end quote. Well, who the hell is saying that he isn't? And isn't that an odd remark for Peterson to make to reporters?
Well, read the rest of it, because I think the rest of it is even more mysterious.
Right.
To me, I mean, you know, the fact that he's having to reassure Carson Wentz. He basically admits that he's having to reassure Carson Wentz of his stature on the team.
Yeah.
You know, ipso facto suggesting that Carson Wentz has to be reassured or has come to him and asked to be reassured.
You're right. He says, "We just have to commit to that and communicate that to him and let that kind of sink in." Well, that's a bizarre, I think. Here we are, week 16.
And the key words were sink in, right?
Yeah.
Like as if he doesn't know. So, you know, I mean, the way the question was asked and the way he answered it, I can understand him answering it that way, but it certainly suggests to me that there's an issue, there's an underlying issue here that's going to have to be carved out in the next couple of weeks. I mean, you know, this situation is so fluid, right? It really is. It really depends on Foles' place and whether the team beats the Texans and beats the Redskins and gets into the playoffs. And then we're in January, a wild card weekend. And you know who's, you know, rear end's going to be planted at NovaCare on SportsCenter every single day. We're talking about Foles versus Wentz. Wentz versus Foles. It's going to be the biggest story of the postseason in week one of the postseason that the Eagles get in. No question.
Right. It sure is.
Well, especially considering, Sal, that he has, I think a lot of people have just assumed that Wentz is going to be out for the remainder of the season when he hasn't been placed on injured reserve. He's technically still listed as questionable, and or not for this game, but for the rest of the season. I mean, is this something that you could see as a dividing issue moving forward just beyond this week?
I don't think so. I don't. You know, these guys really like each other and respect each other. I don't think it's going to be a dividing issue. I just think, you know, Carson's a young man. He's had four injuries. You know, he went from 16 games starting his first year down to 13 now to 11 in the regular season. And, you know, I can see where he would need a conversation with the head coach. Considering, you know, he's not immune to all the noise and the funk out here about how Nick Foles is saving the season. He, you know, he's human. He gets it. But they have such a great relationship. When I was there on Wednesday, they were walking to practice together in the bubble. You know, they really like each other. And that quarterback room is rock solid, Joe.
Okay. All right. Since now we'll say we're talking with Sal Powell from ESPN, of course, the host of the host of the NFL Matchup Show and the author of Philly Special, How the Eagles Won Their First Super Bowl Championship. Sal, let's segue to other quarterbacks then. I thought week 15 was it the camel's nose under the tent in that Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, I thought had terrible games. Now these are all seriously veteran quarterbacks that have really way outlived the average life of an NFL quarterback. And I thought that each really was having trouble getting the ball down the field. Do you see anything there? And in particular, Rodgers, he's just had a completely disinterested 2018 season.
Joe, let me interpret that cliche for you. That's straight out of Bing Crosby and Bob Hope, 1940s, you know, movie of the week on Channel 9 in New York. That's camel's nose under the tent. That hasn't been used in the last nearly 80 years. So in case you were wondering where that came from.
Appreciate that, Sal.
No problem. I'm here to help.
Sal speaks Callahan, so he knows.
I do speak. I've had to learn Callahan and be fluent in Callahan to stay on this show.
Right.
And God love it. So I forgot the question, but just give it to me succinctly one more time because I was stuck on your great metaphor. But go ahead.
Just the three. I noted three quarterbacks last week. Here we are late in the season. Rodgers, Brady, Brees had terrible week 15.
Yeah. So, you know, there's the ebb and flow to the season and teams figure out other teams, but you have to take them individually. So I was at the Steelers-Patriots game, and it's clear that Rob Gronkowski is not Rob Gronkowski. He just does not. He's not getting open. He doesn't have the foot speed. They neutralized him. They did a good job. They didn't really do anything much different from the week 15 of last year, except that Gronkowski is a different player. And when he can't get open, that changes things, especially on third down. And Tom Brady wasn't the same quarterback. And he's getting older. So that was a big issue. But I think Josh McDaniels made a major mistake last week. And I've said this. I said this on SportsCenter. James White. What happened to James White? Where was he? Did he get lost on the way to Pittsburgh from New England?
Right.
How come he wasn't in the game plan? That game screamed James White's name as a running back and as a receiver, and he was not part of the game plan. And I was shocked that they leaned so much on Gronkowski. And even after he had zero targets and catches in the first half, that they went back to him again and again in the second half. As for Brees, teams are catching up with what the New Orleans Saints do. They double Thomas. Brees doesn't have a great athletic tight end like Andy Reid does and Kelsey. So that's an issue. And Kamara, you know, while pyrotechnic as any running back in the league, you know, if you have eyes on him all the time, you can neutralize him somewhat. And Brees has been taking some sacks. As for Rodgers, he has so many bad balls, Pat. There was a thing on Pro Football Talk this week about how many bad balls he's thrown, either interceptions or thrown them away. He's the highest percentage in the NFL. And I think it comes down to the quarterback in that particular case.
Yeah. I think that's we'll see how that dynamic shifts or what happens in the offseason.
Yeah, you know, he hasn't been the same guy since Jordy Nelson left.
Yeah.
He really hasn't. Yeah. That's the bottom line. You know, quarterbacks have receivers that they can rely on, and they have a chemistry that can communicate without nonverbal communication. That's just, you know, sometimes rare, and you can't duplicate it. And that was the case between Rodgers and Nelson.
All right, we're going to segue then into our top five for the week, because, of course, as always, it deals with quarterbacks. Brought to you by our buddy Pat McConney from Manny Mac Home Mortgage. Pat's a licensed loan originator in PA and New Jersey. If you're thinking about buying a home, refinancing, give Pat a call. So you can hold your hand throughout the whole process. You can reach him at 267-474-6379. That's 267-474-6379. Manny Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 338-923. I want to know, gentlemen, the five most disappointing quarterbacks of 2018. Now, there are some suspects here. So I will, as usual, set the table. All right, if that's all right with you, Joey Bags.
Let it rip.
All right, so I don't know if these are even imminent. I'm going to try and do these in order. I'd say, you'd have to say Joe Flacco is a disappointing quarterback. I mean, he clearly is getting paid a ton of money. He's getting way starter money. He's not doing anything. Eli, I have four. I got Matt Stafford, again, paid big money, and he just, you cannot rally around Matt Stafford. You simply can't do it. Three, I have Kirk Cousins number two, and I got Aaron Rodgers number one. Rodgers' statistics are good, but he is the beginning and the end. He's the alpha and the omega in Green Bay, and he just didn't bring it this year.
Yeah, there's no question. Are five and four the same? I actually had Manning five and Flacco four. I went different the rest of the way up. Number three, I had Carson Wentz. Not in that people are disappointed in him, but that I'm sure that the season has been disappointing for him in terms of the way that he hoped to come back from his injury. I had him number three. Number two, I had Jameis Winston. Just that season's totally slid away from him, and maybe the job potentially has slid away from him as well. And number one, I had Derek Carr, a guy who was the potential MVP candidate a couple years ago.
All right, Sal.
I got Derek Carr, number five. Blake Bortles was in the AFC Championship game last year. That was a real bad fall off the table for Blake Bortles. I don't have Flacco or Wentz on my list because they were hurt or coming back from injury. So I don't have either one of them on the list. Number three, I think the last couple of weeks, Jared Goff has to be on my list. I just think this is a young man who's got a lot of opportunity to succeed, and he has not done it. I mean, he had a couple of good games early in the year, but it hasn't been there. Jared Goff has been lately a pretty big disappointment. Jameis Winston, without a doubt, is number two. I mean, this guy was a top pick in the NFL, and you know, he's looking like he could be finding an exit from the NFL this year, or at least going to another team, and his career is in real jeopardy. And number one has got to be Aaron Rodgers. No question about it. Aaron Rodgers is the most disappointing quarterback of the year. I know he was injured early on, but I would invite people to go back and look. And Bill Belichick, again, talk about camel nose into the tent. Bill Belichick, Pat and Joe, said it about Aaron Rodgers after they beat Green Bay in New England. Go back and just Google what Belichick said when he was mic'd up about Aaron Rodgers, and it's not pretty for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. I'll do that for sure. All right, so we do have a few big games, Sal. Give me just one sentence on these games here. Baltimore at the Chargers tonight.
I like the Chargers a lot in this game. I just don't think they have enough of a passing game in Baltimore to compete with.
All right. Saints are hosting Pittsburgh. Drew's back in his happy place.
Saints will win 34-14.
Oh, there you go. And the Chefs, Andy, takes his December roadshow to Seattle. I mentioned earlier in the show that Pete Carroll is 16-2 in primetime games as a coach.
Make that 17-2. I like them. I like them winning that game 27-20.
All right. Here we go. All right, Sal. Very good. Excellent job as usual. Merry Christmas to you and your whole family. All right. And wherever you're traveling, make sure you stay safe. All right.
Bottom line tomorrow with the link, find Deshaun Watson on the field. Make sure he doesn't get outside the pocket and run and throw on the run. If that happens, Eagles win. If the Eagles have problems with Deshaun Watson like they did with Cam and Mariota, they're not going to win the game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.